Great. Shall we, as we launch in, there'll be lots of time for questions at the end, but does anybody have any burning questions at this stage? Anything people want to ask in light of the first session? Yeah, go for it.
Is it helpful that the sort of the target for working through the SOB, but any thoughts about how one negotiates that in an office environment, in HR department, where nobody's allowed to say anything about very much anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. What I've heard on that is, again, it all goes in terms of what people are comfortable with. So you might think of these as the water cooler conversations, the surface level conversations. And if that's working and people are comfortable, then maybe over a coffee or a lunch with a colleague, you know, we might ask slightly more, you know, what do you think about whatever's going on in the news kind of questions. And then if someone's happy, and by this stage, if you're having a good time talking about these things over a while, you're kind of friends, you know, the relationship's developed there. And then as and when people are comfortable with that, asking them what they think about their beliefs and just listening, or maybe waiting for the chance to say something. Hopefully at that point, if it's, you know, that might be over a dinner or something, you know. But developing over time so that they're always comfortable. And also the other thing with this in a work environment is 95% of it is just them talking. So there's no, until the opportunity comes up, there's no point here where you're going to throw in something that's massively offensive. They are just sharing what they think. And it'd be very surprising if they then went and complained about that. So long as you're looking out for, if they start looking uncomfortable at your questions, stop asking them the questions. Yeah, exactly. Those are my thoughts on sort of in the workplace. And I've made it look very neat and easy in the conversations I've described. I've been summarising them. In those conversations, it was much messier. And often, as I said, it's not just one conversation. It's often multiple conversations as you develop a kind of relationship with people. The other thing, look, I keep telling stories about when it goes well. It doesn't always go well for me. And I'll tell you a story that I was on the tube and I helped some ladies on with their bags because they were struggling. And then I had this deep feeling like I should say something, I should do something. And I had a Bible in my hand. And so when it got to my stop, I went to her, I said, I'd love to just give you this Bible if that's okay. And they looked at it and they looked at each other and they were so shocked. And they looked at me and then they said, "We know speaky English." So I'm pretty sure it was a lie. I'm pretty sure they did speak English. And I felt like an idiot for about 30 seconds. That's all right, isn't it? Feeling like an idiot's all right every now and then. That means I might have a chance to say something about Jesus. Rather be a fool for him than proud and silent. So look, just as an illustration, I tell stories about it works well. It doesn't always work well. Great. Well, look, let's keep going for now. Do drop down any questions you've got, or it might be situations you're facing, or it might be questions you've had and you're not sure how to answer. This should be a great chance to thrash those things about a bit later. So do drop those down, and we'll make the most of the questions on at the end. Right, you could have had a new handout there, and using questions to engage people the way Jesus did. Recap the two principles there: all the power is God, so the most effective thing I can do is pray. I'll just tell you one more story about that. When I was living in London, I had a week where I felt quite strongly I'm not doing anything to help lonely people, and so I started praying, "God, can you show me if there are any lonely people nearby?" And then I also was convinced that we had too much stuff, and so I started praying, "God, if we can give away some stuff, please tell us what we can give away." And then 2 days after I started praying that, I got a message from someone I'd never met before who said, "Just round the corner from your house, there's a very elderly, frail gentleman. His house is, he's extremely lonely, and his house has just been burgled. He needs a TV. Could you help him?" The two things I've been praying for, bam, landed in my lap, this chance from God, out of nowhere. And I spent many hours with this man. Many chances to talk about Jesus. He was completely hard to Jesus in the gospel, but I ended up having some chances to share. All of that to say, things happen when we pray that don't happen when we don't pray. The most effective thing you can do is pray. Then, as we said before, people need to meet Jesus, so draw attention to him. I would love, just one more time, I would love us to do this heart of the message thing one more time. Normally when I do this training, it would be over multiple weeks, but here we're having multiple sessions in a day. I'd love you again just to try this swap thing with the person next to you. Imagine the light is God, this hand is you and me. Our selfishness, the Bible says our selfishness cuts us off from God, but he loves us so much that in Jesus he came and took that on himself so that I can now be brought back into God's love forever. I'd love you, I know it's annoying and a bit arbitrary, but I'd love you to try it one more time, okay? Do it with the person next to you for a couple of minutes. Go for it. Great, let me grab your attention there again. So the focus of a, like what we said before, facts, opinions, beliefs, pushing deeper by using questions. The focus of this next bit is going to be just thinking a bit more about questions, how we can use questions and why. So over on page 2, why should we bother using questions in conversation? And first thing to say is it's following Jesus' example. Have you ever noticed when you're reading through the Gospels how good Jesus is at noticing individuals and at drawing individuals out in conversation? Have you ever noticed that before? And one of the things that he often does is use questions. So look, 3 quick examples from Mark's Gospel. Please just flip to Mark chapter 10. These are all just from one section, small section of Mark's Gospel. Mark 10, verses 17 and 18. Someone happy to read that, Mark 10, verse 17 and 18?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Jesus was starting on his way again. A man ran up, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good except God alone."
Brilliant. Now, look, notice that guy's question there. How do I inherit eternal life? That's, in evangelism, that's what you would call an open goal. He asked Jesus, how do I become a Christian, basically? And you think, oh, come on, Jesus, you know, bring on the thought diagram. Tell him. But what did Jesus do? He asks a question. Okay. Now that question starts a conversation, which will end up showing up this man's heart and the issue which is really keeping this man from God, which is, it turns out later in the conversation, money. So notice here, Jesus, instead of just launching into an explanation, he asks a question to engage this man on a personal level. Now, next example, we have to go be quick here, we can't get into all the details of each of these passages, but just flick over the page probably, Mark 11, verse 27 to 33. Somebody happy to read that out for us, Mark 11, 27 to 33.
They arrived once again in Jerusalem, as Jesus was walking in the temple. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him and asked him, "What right have you to do these things? Who gave you this right?" Jesus answered them, "I will ask you just one question, and if you give me an answer, I will tell you what right I have to do these things. Tell me, where did John's right to baptize come from? Was it from God or from man?" They started to argue amongst themselves, "What shall we say? If we answer from God, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe John?' But if we say it's from man," they were afraid of the people because everyone was convinced that John had been a prophet. So their answer to Jesus was, "We don't know." Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you then by what right I do these things."
Now look, verse 20 there, sorry, 28 there, they ask, "What gives you the authority to do this?" That's a great chance for Jesus to declare for all to hear, "My authority is from God and I'm going to prove it by rising from the dead." He could have done that, right? He could have just asserted the answer to their question. But he doesn't. What does he do? He asks a question. And the question reveals that actually they're not willing to accept Jesus' authority to follow the evidence of John's testimony because, and this is their real problem, they're afraid of what people think. So by asking questions, Jesus brings their assumptions to the surface and kind of forces them to face their real problem. Next one, Mark 12, verse 12 to 17. Or sorry, 13 to 17. Someone happy to read that for us?
Then said they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his word. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You are afraid by others because you pay no attention to who they are. But you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay the poll tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we?" But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he asked. "Bring me an area and let me look at it." They brought the coin and asked them, "Whose image is it and whose inscription?" "Jesus," they replied. Then Jesus said to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And they were amazed.
Now, what do you notice about their question in verse 13?
It wasn't genuine because they wanted to catch
you now. Yeah, exactly. Have you ever been in a situation where someone's asked you about faith, but you can tell they don't really want an answer? You ever had that? It's an attack. They're trying to catch you or trap you. It's really interesting. You can often really feel on the back foot, like you're in the hot seat. But notice here, Jesus doesn't get flustered and he doesn't get defensive. He just uses questions. As it were, it sort of gets Jesus out of the hot seat. It draws them into the conversation and it forces them again to face the deeper issue in their hearts of giving themselves to God. Jesus could have said to these guys, "Stop being hypocrites. You should be concerned with giving yourselves to God." He could have said that, couldn't he? But he doesn't. He asks questions that kind of bring up where they're really at. Now look, that's three examples from two pages of one gospel. What does Jesus do in conversation over and over again? He uses questions. Now just turn to the person next to you. What are some of the benefits of that approach? What are some of the benefits of using questions? Go and turn to the person next to you, talk about that. Okay, let me grab your attention. What are people saying? What are some of the benefits of this approach?
You make people sort of think about things, whereas you've got a gospel presentation.
Yeah.
It's just coming at you.
Yeah.
And it probably goes in one or the other,
yeah,
or the top of your head. Whereas if you're being asked questions and then you've got to think, I mean, like you've been doing with us this morning,
yeah,
making us stop and think. And,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Other things?
It's not putting people's backs up straight away, is it?
Interesting, yeah.
Sometimes you get nervous about saying something.
Yeah.
So if you ask a question, it will seem to you.
Yeah.
And other people as well.
Yeah.
Well, you ask the thing where they're coming from, what they know, what their thoughts or emotions are.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
There is one thing. Jesus' answers are so clever.
Yeah.
Can I come up
with anything? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had some advantages, didn't he?
I just saying, I'm crystallised in my head something that's bugging me slightly, because Jesus is accounting for himself. We are accounting half of the events as a sort of indirect,
yeah,
arm's length witness.
Yeah.
So it isn't quite the
same scenario.
You're,
exactly. No, that's exactly. I think that's one of the reasons that's so helpful is that, in to some extent, it takes the pressure off us. Because, like I said, that comes back to principle two.
Yeah.
Our job is to point people to Him.
Yeah.
It's not to have brilliant, you know, brilliant conversations. It's just to draw attention to Him. He's already done the witnessing, and we want to draw attention to Him. Yeah, so that's helpful. I do think that. Sorry,
Jesus has a specific perception of where they're at.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just
yeah.
have to pray that we do ask the right questions. And yeah. knowing the right questions to ask is not always easy.
No, absolutely. And we're going to think about that in
the... Yeah. But his questions are so clever because they get to the root of the problem.
They get to the
He understands where they're coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
Our questions often have, therefore, to be driving, first of all, Where are you?
Absolutely. And we're going to come to that. We're going to have some of the types of questions that we can ask is going to be, we'll come to in just a moment, to try and help equip us. So to see what we can learn, obviously we won't remember to do it like Jesus did, but how we can use questions a bit like Him. Just a couple of other benefits. Look, obviously, asking questions engages the person in front of you. We've kind of already touched on this, but I could launch into saying my opinions without caring about the other person. I can tell them all the things that I think without caring about them. But asking someone questions, it shows an interest, it shows a care, it shows a concern for the person, the individual in front of you. And like we said in the first half, most people don't get asked their opinions very often, and most people quite like telling you what they think. Next.
Asking questions, it makes you actually have to listen to what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Next, it does open people up. Questions can open people up to concepts they might not otherwise consider. Because the way it works, people tend to have their set view of the world, right? And if they hear something that goes against that, what's the first thing we do? They reject it. Right? So, for example, miracles. I don't believe in miracles. I hear about a miracle. No. But questions can open people up to hearing and engaging with new ideas. It can draw out assumptions that people might have never questioned before. Thirdly, this is a practical thing. It kind of takes the pressure off. We often feel, when we get into these conversations, we can often feel like we're in the hot seat, like we're under pressure. But actually just responding by asking a question, it can help sort of get out of that feeling like I'm in the hot seat and I have to be... answering all their accusations. Let me give you an example. I once heard someone tell me, an American man called Brandon. He once told me about a conversation in which he was surrounded by skeptics. And one of them asked him, "I suppose you think that sincere believers of other religions are all going to hell, right?" Tense moment. Tense moment. But he responded with questions. He said to the person, "Do you believe in hell?" And the person was sort of taken aback and then said, "No, I think the idea is ridiculous." So he said, "Well, why are you asking me about something you think is ridiculous?" And there was kind of a pause. And then another person in the conversation said, "I believe in hell. Do you think that everyone who disagrees with you is going there?" And so he said, "Well, who do you think goes to hell?" And the person said, "Hitler." People always say Hitler. And so he said, "Okay, well then, how do you think God decides who goes to hell? Does he sort of grade it on a curve?" And he said that was for the first time at that moment the conversation became civil. And people were actually listening to each other. And they ended up going on to have a great conversation meaningfully about sin and why Jesus is such good news. Just by asking questions. Completely changed the conversation. Now, I'd like, because it's not, we don't find this that natural necessarily, I'm going to give you another awkward, arbitrary exercise. I'd love you just in pairs, again. One of you, talk about something, mention something from your childhood. It doesn't really matter what it is. Just mention something from your childhood. And the other person, I want you, for 2 minutes, just, you can only ask questions. Okay? So the one person, you're only allowed to ask questions to find out more. And then we're going to switch over, okay? So we'll have 1 or 2 minutes each. But you're only, the person A is only allowed to ask questions to person B. Just a couple of guidelines. Your questions do need to be about what they're talking about. And don't bother getting too psychoanalytical. We're not trying to be Freud here. Okay? go for it. So one of you mentioned something to John, and the other person, for 2 minutes, you're only allowed to respond with questions. Go for it. Okay, switch over. Another person's turn, switch over. Okay, let me put your misery to an end. Do come back all together. It is hilarious. It's hilarious whenever, everywhere I do that exercise, if you have pairs of women, they do amazingly at this. And if you have pairs of men, they really struggle. But that's pretty typical everywhere. And just the only point of that really is just to get us into that mindset of trying to draw the other person out, trying to ask questions and ask more questions. If I could, everything I'm going to say in this bit, you can summarise in 3 words, ask more questions. Ask more questions.
Okay, so the thing we just did was to ask questions, not to try and get it round to...
No, sorry. I should have established that beforehand. It was purely just to try and get you asking questions, not to try and do this. Forgive me if I didn't make that clear. Look, a few things now. Just over on page 3, what kind of questions can I use, particularly if we're going to think about trying to draw things around to faith? What kind of questions can I use? First kind of question here, tell me more. These are questions that are designed, like Jeremy was saying, these are questions that are designed to find out where the other person is coming from. Because if a person says, asks you a question or makes a statement, there are a million different places that could come from. A million different things they could be thinking or feeling or experiences they might have had. And so questions that are designed to draw out, what does someone mean? What do they think? What's their story? It can be really powerful. I'll give you an example of this from my life recently. In London, there was a neighbour, and we were on a walk in the park, and we bumped into her and the kids were playing. And she kept on mentioning during the conversation how liberal and progressive they are as a family. And so I kept thinking, oh, no, I hope she doesn't kind of find out too much about what I really think. But then there came a moment where she said something like, oh, we're not religious at all. But in the kind of way of like, oh, that's clearly all terrible to be religious. And what do you do in a moment like that? I mean, should I go quiet? Should I get defensive? What do you do? Luckily that morning I'd heard a podcast on asking questions in evangelism, so I said, oh, that's really interesting, please tell me more. Please tell me more. And it turned out that she'd gone to a Catholic school as a young girl that sort of forced the kids to confess to their teachers, and the teachers were all hypocrites. And so I asked another question, was that off-putting for you? And she said, it really was, and how it sort of shaped her views on things, and she really hated it. And so I asked another question, am I right that your experience as a child has put you off faith as a grown-up? And she said, yeah, absolutely. But then she paused and she said, but I suppose that was a long time ago, and I've not really thought about faith as an adult, so maybe it's time for me to look into it again. And I said, yes. But you see, she'd gone from, we're not religious at all, to, I should think about Christianity as a grown-up. And all I had said was, tell me more. Tell me more. Finding out where someone is coming from and just hearing their story can be so powerful. For me, my first step in a conversation like this is always to try and draw out the other person. What do they think? Where are they coming from? And I normally wouldn't answer someone's questions until I've asked at least a few questions to try and find out where they're coming from. And another version of this is, well, what do you mean by that? What's behind that for you? Trying to tell me more questions. Right, next kind of question you can use, can you explain that to me? This is questions that try and help people consider their own assumptions. But often people dismiss Christianity completely because of an assumption, and often that assumption is totally unexamined. I remember one of my teammates telling me that Christianity was made up in the Middle Ages to stop peasants from being sad. It's a completely ridiculous view. And I asked him, what made you think that? It turns out that a teacher had said it once at primary school. He was completely dismissing the Christian faith, but he'd never examined what he was basing that on. And often, if questions, often people are dismissing the Christian faith because of, I don't know, something they heard on TV once, or something their dad said, or something a teacher said, or something on the internet. And often, if you can bring that assumption to the surface, the person will see that it's illogical or inconsistent. You can do that by asking, can you explain that to me? So I was once talking to a teenager about faith, and I asked him, like, would you say you believe in God, or are you not sure? And he said to me, he said, no, I don't believe in God because of science. Okay. So I said, oh, okay, can you explain that to me? What is it? And he was sort of, well, I prefer science over God. I said, yeah, okay, I see that, but what is it about science that you think means God can't exist? Can you explain it to me? He sort of went, sort of science. I said, okay, so you know, he was completely refusing to engage with the idea of God, and he had no reason. He had a vague feeling about science. As I said, okay, look, so am I right that for you, ignoring the idea of God, but you don't have a clear reason, you just got a sort of feeling about science, does that sound reasonable to you? And he went, and that was the end. I don't know where that, I don't know what happened to him, that was the end of that conversation. But I hopefully, to some extent, I helped him examine his assumption there. Questions that help people examine their assumptions. What makes you say that? You get people to look at the reasons for their opinions. They're often very, very sketchy. Varying on this question, how do you know that? Or what is it that convinces you of that? Is that something you've always believed? Or did something persuade you of that? Look, I've had a version of that conversation so many times, particularly about the Bible. Someone would say, the Bible isn't trustworthy. But, oh, that's really interesting. What makes you say that? Is that something you've investigated for yourself?
No.
Okay, well, what convinces you of that? Or I heard someone say it on TV once. Okay, well, see, actually, there's a bit of the Bible that talks about this. Would you be interested in seeing it? You go to the beginning of Luke's Gospel that says it's based on eyewitness accounts. Ask them what they think of that. Look, asking, what's the point here? The point is helping people consider their own assumptions. Another question you can ask sometimes, so this works more on the sort of opinions question, can just be the word, really? With a big smile, just to ask, really? If someone says, as someone did recently to me, oh, I've just got to be true to myself, haven't I? I've just got to be true to my heart. Really? Tell me more about that. Really? Not like, really, you know, that's not going to go well. But sometimes just the question, really? Can help someone examine their assumptions in a conversation. Another kind of question is that, why do you ask questions? Helping people consider their own motives. And sometimes this is useful for diffusing tension. Like we said before, sometimes people aren't really asking questions. They're just trying to challenge you. You know, a question like, what gives you the right to say someone else's religion is wrong? Now, a question like that can leave you dumbfounded, on the back foot, nervous, feeling like you're in the hot seat. And it sounds like a question, but there's no curiosity. It's a statement, or it's an attack dressed up as a question. And sometimes in those moments, it can be really helpful just to ask, can I just ask, why do you ask? What makes you interested in this? I can see it matters to you. I'd love to know more. Why is that? Why does this matter to you? Are you asking this because you really want an answer, or is there something else that you're hoping for? My favourite response if someone's really hostile, well, sometimes this works, you should say, look, before I answer that, can I ask, do you consider yourself a tolerant person? Because some of my opinions are minority views these days, and so before I answer, I just want to check that you'll listen to tolerance. That's like conversational judo, that one. But look, questions that help people consider their own motives or diffuse some of the tension. Can I ask why are you asking that? What's behind that for you? Final questions. type of question. And these are questions that are designed to introduce the truth. Because a time comes in a conversation where you want to introduce a different way of looking at the problem or a different opinion on the truth. And again, that can be done in the form of a question. You know, imagine someone saying that miracles can't happen. I might say, yeah, you understand that. Many people are cynical about miracles. But is it possible that if there is a God, he could theoretically make miracles happen? So put it in the form of a question. That's quite different, isn't it, to no, because there's God. Or another example, someone saying you can't trust the Bible because it was written by people and it's been corrupted. Do you think it's possible, theoretically, that if there was a God, he could inspire people to write what he wanted and preserve it through the centuries? Do you think that's possible, theoretically? Another kind of question you could ask, have you ever considered? Imagine someone says, I could never believe in a God who would judge people. Okay, but have you ever considered that if there is a God, he might have opinions that are different to ours? Have you ever considered that he might not agree with everything that you and I think? Have you ever considered that? Now look, if you're stuck, never sure what to say, here's my go-to if I'm stuck and I don't know what to say. I would ask someone, who do you think Jesus is? Who do you think Jesus is? And then immediately, if you remember principle number two, draw attention to him. If I'm ever sure not where to go in conversation, I'd ask, who do you think Jesus is? What do you think of the claims that Jesus made about himself? Look, onto page four. Here are a few different things that someone might say to you. In pairs, I'd love you to have a look at these different things. What questions might you use in response to these? Have a read through, and then chat to the person next to you. What questions might you use in response to each of those? Go for it. Should we come back together there? I'd love to hear what you guys are thinking about that. So, if we take, for example, the first one, no religion has the whole truth. What question might you ask in response to that? What are people saying?
Do you think that the truth can be discovered?
Great, yeah.
How do you say what is and what isn't true?
Yeah.
Those sort of questions.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. How do you decide what's true and what's not true? That's going to get you an interesting conversation, isn't it?
What makes you think that?
Yeah, great, yeah. Yeah, what do you base that on? Yeah. Yeah. What's convinced you of that? Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant.
Maybe, do you think God could reveal himself? Yeah, that's the sort of turn round the sort of people searching for God, so maybe God searching for people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great, yeah. Yeah, so what do you think, it's, you know, in the category of introducing the truth, is it possible that if there is a God, he might reveal himself to people? That's going to get you into an interesting conversation, isn't it? great, number two. I can't believe Christians, they claim to follow Jesus, but they're so arrogant to believe they're the only ones who go to heaven. I know good people are better than most Christians. What might you say? What question might you ask?
What makes you think that we're better? What is your opinion of what is better?
Yeah, how do we...
How do you categorise this?
Yeah, great, yeah. Yeah. Brilliant.
Do you think there is a heaven?
Great, yeah. Yeah.
What do you think a good person is?
Yeah.
Why do you call me good?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Again, that's helping them to examine their assumptions. Those are good examples of helping someone examine their own assumptions there, yeah. And see what they're based on. Yeah, brilliant. I don't think God would send people to hell just because they aren't Christian. Jesus taught everyone should be taught about people not to judge. Great. Yeah.
Why do you not?
Yeah.
With
yeah.
Who do you think God would come to help?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think anyone's there? Yeah. How does
God... It's all wrong.
Yeah.
If you talk about things that are good or bad or where you expose your line.
Yeah.
You know, what point is it between?
Yeah. Yeah. I...
What did you say
about? Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, and then you get into the chance, again, because at that point you're going to be around here, right? It's not going to be long to stay, it's really not going to be long until you have a chance to show them something else that Jesus said, or, oh, so you just talked about that, would you like to have a look? What do you think of what he says? But you know what I mean? Like, when you get to there, it's not long until you have a chance to, great, people shouldn't be allowed to try and convert other people, we need to respect and accept every religious belief. Okay. Huh. That's a good point, yeah.
Who are these people?
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a good point. And I think the reason that you saw on there is that one probably sounds like they've had a bad experience. And if I ever get the inclination that someone's had a bad experience, I always want to know why. I almost don't want to start answering until I've heard what some Christian has done that's really annoyed. We had a moment, we were running an outreach course in a pub in February, and this man came down the stairs and sort of glared at the room and then turned around and walked out, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to go and, you know, follow him. And I heard someone say to him, what's going on down there? And he said, hypocrisy. And I said, oh, that's really interesting. Tell me more. And he looked at me. It sounds like there's a story behind that for you. I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to hear what your experience has been. And he looked at me for about 5 seconds, and then he just held out his hand and said, we'll leave it there. So he didn't actually go any deeper. But it was interesting, you know, instead of, oh, how dare he, or blah, 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 he called us hypocrites. Tell me more. Like, something's happened there. He's got a story. And I'm much more likely to get somewhere if I hear it, even though I didn't in that instance.
You don't know what the Lord...
That's precisely my prayer when I went home. That was precisely my prayer. I was kind, warm towards him and offered him a chance to talk further. And who knows? God could use that, couldn't he? God could use that to make him think, why am I so angry? What's going on? You know, absolutely, absolutely. Look, I'd love, we've got some time now. Turn to the person next to you. Do you have any thoughts, comments, questions about anything that we've done today? Or any situations that you're facing, or any questions that you find hard to answer. We've got about 10 minutes. Turn to the person next to you for 1 minute. What are your thoughts, comments, questions? And then you can fire them at me if you'd like to. Okay. Now's your chance. Any questions? Yeah. Any questions or comments?
I think it's helpful because we can get kind of screwed up about the fact that we ought to talk to somebody about Jesus and we don't want to.
Hmm.
So then you can get a bit head up and you can get a bit aggressive.
Hmm.
You don't need to be.
Hmm.
So actually thinking about asking questions isn't to people.
Yeah.
And if the Lord's got his hand on them, if you've made, you know, the Lord's got his hand on them, you're not the one converting them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When I was telling one, which I heard before, I was telling somebody that I was coming today to talk about this. Asked me a question. They said, there's questions that are asked, like, people will turn around and say, again, people who are using the game, will turn around and say, if there was a God, why would they allow a child to be born? Deaf and blind and live a life of misery. And my answer to that was, I turned around and said, my first instinct was, what makes you think that child's miserable? And that was my first response.
Okay, yeah.
What makes you think somebody, and They said, yes, but then they don't know any different. That would be answer.
Okay.
I didn't really go any further on it, but that did give me thought provoking.
Baby born deaf, dumb, and blind. I would start by saying that's a really, really good question. Can I just ask, why are you asking? What's behind this for you? And the reason I do that is that I've had two people ask me an identical question of why does God allow suffering, which is a version of that question. One of them was a philosophy student at a London university, and he was interested in the theoretical, you know, almost the logical equation. But I've had a teammate, a water polo teammate, who witnessed atrocities in the apartheid. And they're both, literally the words were identical. Why would God allow suffering? But the questions were very different. One's asking, you know, is it logically possible? One's asking, what do I do with the horrors I've witnessed? And how does that square with God? So honestly, my first step would be to find out where they're coming from, what's behind it for them. And then to address it differently. I have lots of different things to say on that question because I get it asked at every evangelistic course we do. It always comes up. If I had to give a 20-second answer, my answer would be, I don't know. I don't know. But I do think there's a really good reason to trust God nonetheless. Because if you look at Jesus dying on the cross, you see a God who really cares about evil and suffering, but who really loves people and wants to face them. So I'm not sure on the big scale, but I do think I know enough to trust God, nonetheless. That would be my 10-second. That's been woefully inadequate. There are a million things to say, but that would be my 10-second answer. Other questions? Great. Brilliant. Do come and grab me if you do think of more questions or situations that you'd like thoughts on. How do you know that question? If someone gives an opinion, you say, oh, well, how do you know that? Just to highlight, there are two ways. Again, you can always treat all these questions. If you're going to ask that, ask it and be genuinely interested. Don't ask, how do you know that? But, oh, what makes you say that? What are you basing that on? Be genuinely interested before you then, have you ever considered that? I think it's a very, very useful one. Finally, just goals for this week. Pray. Why not pray every day? I met an old man last year who told me that he started praying 50 years ago. He started praying every day. God, please use me to help bring one person to faith this year. Prayed that every day. God, please use me to help bring one person to faith this year. And he said that in 50 years, God has answered that prayer every year. After a lifetime now of trying to do that, there are 50 people that God has used him to help. It's not unrealistic that God could use you to bring one person to faith this year. Why not pray? Why not pray every day and let's see what God does? Pray and then aim to try this. Aim to try this in a conversation in the next couple of weeks and see how it goes. We had a guy when I did this back in Cobra. He was at a building site and he was thinking, I'm not sure this is ever going to work. And a guy came over to him and started spouting off about something he was annoyed about. And he started asking his opinions and the guy started to speak a bit more deeply. And then he started asking the beliefs behind that. And then my friend had a chance to say something about Jesus and invite him to church on a building site. So pray and aim to try this. Thank you. That's all I've got to say. Thank you, Mark.
Great. Thank you so much, Nick. Lots to think about there and some great stuff where you try to put into practice too. So thank you very much. There is a book of this. We called this how to talk about Jesus without being that guy. You don't remember who wrote that?
He's called Sam Chan.
Sam Chan, that's right. So that is a very good, worthwhile book if you wanted to follow up on that a bit more.
Is that the title?
Yes, it's literally called How to Talk About Jesus Without Being That Guy.
He has a longer version of it called Evangelism in the Skeptical World, but that's the, like, that's the better, the more kind of accessible version.
It's very readable, accessible book. So, thank you very much, Nick. Just to remind you, if you are able to make a donation towards the cost, that would be great. Would you like to lead us in a prayer?
I'd love to, I'd love to. Great God and Father, we thank you that in your beauty and your holiness and your majesty and your grace that you have reached down into our lives. We thank you that you have drawn us to yourself and that you equip and give us what we need to tell other people of you and your goodness and your glory. And Father, we want to offer ourselves to you now, and we want to ask you to use us. Father, we think of all those five people that we've each written down and how many people are represented here by the people here in this room. Lord, we pray that on the last day, gathered around your throne, there will be people there with us worshipping you forever, whom you have used us to help bring to you. Father, please, for each of us, would you use each of us to help bring one person to faith this year. You have the power. You have the glory. Help us and use us, we pray. Amen.
Can we pray for Judith? Because she's going to a wedding this afternoon and the people there, they meet regularly and are very anxious.